that when Vritrasura came and we were finished, completely finished, we appealed to the Supreme Lord to kill him. He wouldn't do it. He told me to do it. So I had to risk my life. And I only just killed him. Yeah. He only accepts my worship out of affection for my parents and Brihaspati. It's not because I'm particularly, you know, nice or qualified. And then as soon as it's finished, he disappears back to this other planet of his. Then he comes back and tells me, when I complain, that I want to worship you, but you're not here to accept my offerings. This is another point that the king made, that Lord Indra, that Lord Vamana accepts whatever Lord Indra offers, very happily. But Indra says he's never here. And when he comes back and I tell him that I wanted to offer you something, but you weren't here, he says, don't worry, offer it to Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, because we're the same, really. And Indra says that, I know the philosophy. I know there are similarities, but I know they're not the same. So he's deceiving me. He's being dishonest. Then Lord Indra says, and on top of that, whenever I need him, I don't know where to find him. Sometimes he's in Vaikuntha, then he goes to Dhruvaloka, then he's in the milk ocean, now he's in Dwarka, but sometimes that's not even certain, because sometimes he goes to Mathura or Hastinapur. Sometimes he goes to Hastinapur to see the Pandavas. Sometimes he goes to Mathura. And when he goes to Mathura, we don't know if he's in the city or if he's going from one forest to another somewhere. So when we need him, in other words, that means when the demons attack, then we don't know where to turn. It's very difficult. Yeah. So, you know, one important principle here is that all the devotees that Narada Muni meets, that they all feel more or less the same way, sort of, or, you know, very similar. That, you know, we don't have any mercy. Not that we're just not the greatest recipients, but we've got no mercy. In fact, we're just having this terrible time, and it's really tough, and we're really unqualified, so what can we do? But there are others who are much, much more dear. So then Lord Indra says that actually your father, Lord Brahma, he has received the most mercy. Why? Anyway, page 4, number 4, gives the basic reasons, but there's a little bit more. First of all, as mentioned here, Brahma is the direct son of the Lord. He, in fact, is his only son. So that means they're really close. He's the direct son and the only son of the Lord. Then, he lives longer than Indra. Actually, he lives fantastically longer. There are 14 Indras in one day of Brahma. So, therefore, Lord Brahma, he really got a lot of mercy. Practically lives forever. He is the creator of the planets and of their rulers? Creator of the planets and of the rulers, all the demigods. He's the chief protector of the universe. When the demigods get into trouble, they often have to turn to Lord Brahma to appeal on their behalf. He is the ultimate dispenser of karmic reactions, sort of like it's his program. Indra is working more or less, and the demigods, on his behalf. He is the destroyer even. What does that mean? It means that when he goes to sleep, then all the lower planets are all destroyed. So effectively, he is the destroyer. And finally, when the end of his life comes, everything is destroyed. So it's not so much... Anyway, whether it's Lord Shiva or not is another thing. But it's certainly connected with him, because his life ends, therefore everything is destroyed. And final point, and most important point, that on his planet, the Lord lives as the Mahapurusha. This is a form of, this is Garbhadakshay Vishnu really, or a form of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The lotus-naveled Mahapurusha. He lives there, and he accepts all the offerings that Lord Brahma makes. And as mentioned here in point 4 on page 4, he is non-different. He's an empowered incarnation. Yeah, as a guna avatar, Shakchavesh avatar, he's an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So in other words, he's the Lord, practically. It's like that. So this is what Lord Indra tells Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is so inspired, he calls out, Sadhu, Sadhu! Well done, well said. You have spoken so nicely. And quickly he went off to Brahmaloka. So as he was flying in, he heard the sounds of a great sacrifice being performed practically ceaselessly with great devotion. And he came in and there was the Mahapurusha, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, or a form of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, along with Lakshmi Devi, being worshipped by Lord Brahma. And he was taking all the items that were being offered and consuming them with his 1,000 mouths. What is that verse? Sahasra Shersha Purusha, something? Yes. Purusha Sukta, right? This is that form of the Lord is being referred to. So after a while, after consuming in his 1,000 mouths all these different offerings with his 1,000 hands, then he and Lakshmi Devi retired to their private rooms, and the Lord wanted to have a rest and Lakshmi was going to massage his feet. So then Brahma told his sons to continue with the sacrifice. And Brahma, in ecstasy, crying tears profusely from his 8 eyes, saw Narada, who came glorifying him loudly. You are the true recipient of the Lord's mercy. Why? Well, let's see here. On page 5, some of the reasons are there. Let us go through the reasons. There's a few more. In fact, it's a whole thing here now about Lord Brahma. Why? Because He is. Narada says, you are the master of the masters of all living entities. You're even the master of Indra. So you are the master of the masters of all living entities. You are the grandfather of all the worlds. It is you alone who create, maintain, and devour the 14 worlds. You rule the universe forever. His rule is not interrupted by devastations like Indra. You are self-born. Sometimes Lord Brahma is described like this. Try and note these points down because we are going to ask you them in our test. The Vedas, the Puranas, and the other scriptures, which all reveal the truth, and which reveal all the truth, they come from your mouths, and they are personally present in personified forms on the planet of Brahma. Yes, so he, talk about getting the mercy. He's really got the mercy, Lord Brahma. And only people who faultlessly perform their duties according to Varna Ashram for a minimum of 100 births can take birth on his planet. Now, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva says such people can become Lord Brahma. But Sanatan Goswami, in his purport here, he says that normally they only get to become his associates. It's very rare that one of them can actually become a Brahma. They'll normally just take birth on Brahma Loka. And they have to perform their duties for 100 lifetimes without any error. They're not allowed one error. And no fault in the form of things like pride, deceit, or any flaws of character. And there's no higher abode in the universe, or there's no higher abode. Even Lord Vishnu's Vaikuntha planet is within your universe. In other words, is sort of under you. Narada Muni is expressing himself like that. That the Mahapurusha is there, he's always accepting your offerings. And Narada says, I know you got his mercy because you personally told me in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, how you struggled for a long time to realize him, but then he revealed himself to you. So I know you got his mercy. And you are an incarnation of the Lord. So for these reasons, Narada Muni tells Lord Brahma that you have got the greatest mercy. Lord Brahma covered his 8 ears with his however many hands and started shouting, Dasosmi, Dasosmi, again and again. I'm just a servant, I'm just a servant. He became angry, but he controlled himself. But still he reprimanded Narada. He said that I have constantly told you that I am not the Supreme Lord from your childhood. Don't you remember that time in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? I told you then very clearly. So I am not the Supreme Lord. Don't say this. Yes. Then he gives his reasons. Whole lot of reasons. He says, when it comes to this material world, it is not me. I'm not responsible. It's Maya Devi. She's responsible for the creation. And everything is going on because of her modes. It's not me. Rather, I am under her modes. I am under the mode of passion myself. And actually he says to Narada, all of us are under her modes, meaning you also, Narada. And that's why you're speaking nonsense like this. Because you're influenced by her. And she is the one who the Lord sees. Yes. He notices her, and he notices what she does. He doesn't notice Lord Brahma so much. So how can you say that I have even a trace of his mercy? This is what Lord Brahma says. I don't even have a trace. By Maya Devi's influence, I have just become conceited. And I think I'm the controller and grandfather and spiritual master of the universe. But it's just because I've become puffed up by her influence. So see how great she is. And then regarding being self-born, Lord Brahma says, I'm not self-born. I was born from a lotus flower. What sort of birth is that? And you think that because I'm managing the universe, you think that's a sign that I got the mercy? Don't you know how difficult it is to run this universe? It's a headache. So he has just given me a big burden. That's all. He hasn't given me any mercy in this way. But he's just causing me to suffer. And it's not that I'm ruling this universe forever. I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And I'm also in anxiety that I'm going to die. Actually, he says, I live in terror of the end of time. He says, you know, I get so fried. All I want is liberation. That's all. So I worship the Lord for that. And I also... causing me to suffer. And it's not that I'm ruling this universe forever. I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And I'm also in anxiety that I'm going to die. Actually, he says, I live in terror of the end of time. He says, you know, I get so fried. All I want is liberation. That's all. So I worship the Lord for that. And I also engage other people in worshiping the Lord on my behalf for that. And you say that the Lord is here with me personally, and this is a sign of his great mercy. But I know the philosophy. He's everywhere. He's in every atom. So what is the big thing about him being here with me? It's not such a sign of his mercy. And final point, not final point, but in this vein, final point, he says, the Lord only accepts my offerings in order to uphold the Vedic principles, to set a good example. That's all. It's not because he wants to accept my offerings. It's not his special favor on me, on Lord Brahma. It's to uphold the principles, to set a good example so that everyone will do it, and also to honor the sacrifices themselves, because the sacrifices are very sacred. Then he says, he gets into a very interesting line of thought. He says that you say that the Lord accepts my offerings, but according to the philosophy, he only accepts things which are offered with devotion, and I have absolutely no devotion at all, and I will prove it to you. So then, Lord Brahma explains that I give wrong benedictions. Didn't you hear about the time I gave the benedictions to Hiranyakashipu? As a result, he committed such huge Vaishnav aparad against Prahlad. Well, I was responsible for that, because I gave him the benedictions. Then after that, when the demigods and I approached Lord Nrsingadev, he wouldn't even look at us. In fact, we were afraid that if we approached him, he'd just kill us also. But he accepted Prahlad's prayer. So he doesn't accept what I offer. Then after that, Lord Nrsingadev angrily told me, he said, this is Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:30. Lord Nrsingadev says, "My dear Lord Brahma, O great Lord born from the lotus flower, just as it's dangerous to feed milk to a snake, so it's dangerous to give benedictions to demons, who are by nature ferocious and jealous. I warn you not to give such benedictions to any demon again." But Lord Brahma says, "Still, shortly thereafter, I gave another demon some benedictions, and that was Ravana. And then he committed even worse Vaishnav aparad. He kidnapped Sita, the Lord's personal consort. So that was even worse." Then he says that Indra, who was appointed by me, he just recently offended the Lord. Varuna, also appointed by me, recently offended Krishna by stealing his father Nanda Maharaj. Yamaraj, he kidnapped the sons of Krishna's teacher. He was also appointed by me. Kuvera was responsible for Shankarchuda. I created all the demons. And I created all the snakes like Kaliya. So what sort of offender am I? What sort of devotion do I have? And then he said, "Worst of all, just the other day, I stole the Lord's cowherd boys and calves myself." That was the worst. And it was just too much. And when I came to apologize and offer prayers, the Lord just looked the other way. He didn't say anything to me. I felt so scared. I finished my prayers and just left as quickly as I could. But then he says one other interesting little thing. He says, "Still, you know, I think I was fortunate because I went to Vrindavan and I saw the devotees there, and that was quite an amazing experience." Yeah. So this is a point which will come up later on in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How, amongst all the non-residents, the non-Brijbasis, two people are special. One is Lord Brahma, because he knows the glories of Vrindavan and the inhabitants. And the other is Uddhava, because he knows the glories of the gopis. So, he actually admits that he got a little bit of good fortune there. And he says, you know, I was afraid. I didn't know what he was going to do to me. I was afraid I was going to commit more offenses, so I just got out of there as soon as I could. So Lord Brahma says that, you know, there is a person who has got so much more mercy than me. He is actually the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. Who is that? Lord Shiva. Yes. So, why? So, Lord Brahma gives some reasons. He is famous as the dear friend of the Lord. Well, some of these reasons are here, or most of them are here in your book. Not all, but most. So he's known as the dear friend of the Lord. He is intoxicated with the taste of Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore, he has no interest in ruling the universe. In other words, he is renounced. He is detached, which Lord Brahma feels he is not himself. He's got no taste for sense gratification or anything like that. In fact, he is so advanced in his renunciation that he just laughs at materialists like me. He just mocks us, and he goes around naked with the ashes of dead bodies smeared on his body. And he's just ridiculing materialistic people like me by doing this. He is prideless. Part of this whole display is that he is prideless to the point that he actually tries to hide his glories by appearing like some madman with all these strange habits. He actually destroys the universe, not me, and therefore he kills me. He kills me. And Brahma says that he can give liberation. That liberation which I want, he and his wife, who is Maya Devi, they can give that. Everyone on his planet is liberated. He has made many people pure devotees. It is offensive to think he is different from the Lord. This is there. It's explained actually by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini. The second offense. To think that the names of Lord Shiva, of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, are independent of or equal to the holy names of Lord Vishnu. But, in a certain sense, Lord Shiva is equal to Lord Vishnu. In a certain sense, as yogurt is kind of equal to milk, in a certain sense, there's this element of non-difference. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the point that when Lord Shiva is manifesting in that way, then it is an offense to think that he is different from the Supreme Lord. The Lord can tolerate offenses against himself, but not against Lord Shiva. In fact, The Lord intervenes to save Lord Shiva if there's some offense against him or if he's put into danger. He gives the example of Vrikasura. You know that story? Vrikasura, Lord Shiva gave him the benediction that whoever's head you touch, their head will split into pieces. And Vrikasura wanted to try it out on Lord Shiva. So Lord Krishna appeared and got that foolish demon to touch his own head, which cracked into pieces. So the Lord cannot tolerate offenses against Lord Shiva. And in fact, the Lord intervenes if Lord Shiva gets into difficulty. And if Lord Shiva gives the wrong benediction to someone, then the Supreme Lord does not get angry with him, but he forgives him very nicely, in a very affectionate way. So this is in the story of Vrikasura. Having killed Vrikasura, this is from the 88th chapter of the 10th canto. Having killed Vrikasura, the Supreme Lord tells Lord Shiva, "Just see, O Mahadev, how this wicked man has been killed by his own sinful reactions. Indeed, what living being can hope for good fortune if he offends exalted saints? What to speak of offending the Lord and spiritual master of the universe," who in this case he is saying is Lord Shiva. The Supreme Lord is addressing Lord Shiva as the Lord and spiritual master of the universe, and saying that because this rascal Vrikasura offended you, he has come to this very dramatic end. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport to this verse from the Bhagavatam, says that this was a mild scolding from Lord Vishnu. Mild scolding. But actually the Lord was really highlighting the compassion of Lord Shiva. His exceptional compassion. So it wasn't like when Lord Nrsingadev chastised Lord Brahma and told him, "Do not give any more benedictions like that." So, Lord Shiva says that, Lord Brahma says, that Lord Shiva was worshipped by Lord Vishnu when he drank the poison from that ocean of poison. Then the demigods came, and the Supreme Lord himself came and worshipped Lord Shiva. And the Puranas sing of Lord Vishnu's mercy on him. So Narada Muni is so fired up, so excited. He wants to go immediately to Mount Kailash within the universe. But Lord Brahma stops him and tells him, "No. Don't go there. That is just a limited manifestation of Lord Shiva, who you'll find there on Kailash. You go to Shiva Loka. That is like a liberated planet beyond the universe. You go there to Shiva Loka, the original abode of Lord Shiva. It's beyond the coverings of the universe. And there you'll see Lord Shiva in his full splendor." So Narada Muni, totally in this mood of seeing Lord Shiva as not different from Lord Krishna, just so excited and ecstatic, Narada Muni went flying away chanting, "Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna," like this, off to Shiva Loka. So we'll take up the story in Shiva Loka tomorrow. Any comments or questions? Nrsinga Kavachopam. Yeah. Our Lord Brahma is the living entity. Lord Brahma, the Jiva. And Hiranyagarbha is he is described by Prabhupada as, it's either Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as the prototype Lord Brahma. Yeah. The original form. The original form within the whole material creation, who expands into each universe. Hiranyagarbha. Yeah. So he is, he's like Shambhu, that very high form of Lord Shiva. You know, there's an element, a very strong element of his being not different from the Supreme Lord. He's not exactly the Supreme Lord, though. But he's up there somewhere in some special type of category, like Shambhu. Well, I haven't got that. Was there already. Yeah. It's not put like that directly in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Anyway, you know, he's Vishnu Tattva, like in the same way that Lord Shiva, Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, says there's an original form of Lord Shiva who has his own Vaikuntha planet, and he's a Leela expansion. So, you know, he's very close up there like that. Someone else? Other? No, the strange ones, no. See, there are two Lord Shiva, two forms of Lord Shiva. Sorry, the question is that we have said that the followers of Lord Shiva are liberated, or Lord Brahma has said that. So does that include the hobgoblins, right, and all those ghosts and so on who are the followers of Lord Shiva, that we read about sometimes in the Bhagavatam? So the answer there is that, just as Lord Brahma has pointed out, that the Shiva within this universe is not on the same level as this original Lord Shiva who's in Shiva Loka, which is beyond the universe, beyond the coverings of the universe. So in that Shiva Loka, there's the complete manifestation of Lord Shiva, and all his associates are completely liberated. But the Lord Shiva within this universe, who is associate, at least there's like a group, it's not all. Not that all his associates are all ghosts and hobgoblins, but there's a very extensive group. But they're not liberated. They are conditioned souls, but through his mercy, they're making progress to becoming elevated, becoming devotees or liberated or being benefited in some way. But they are not the liberated associates of Lord Shiva. That's another category altogether. Can I just understand the question? Are you asking whether the Lord Brahma who's speaking here is the prototype Lord Brahma? So the question is, the three sort of popular deities in the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva who are referred to, are they the prototypes? Well, the Brahma and Shiva are not. They're the localized demigods within the universe. Yeah. The Lord Vishnu is also the Lord Vishnu within the universe. It's not Mahavishnu specifically. Yeah. Either Gavadakshaya or Shiradakshaya Vishnu, depending on the context. Yeah. Can be either, depending on the context. And sometimes it's even interchangeable. Which is that we've been talking about two forms of Lord Shiva, but in the Bhagavatam, there's mention of 11 forms of Rudra. So they are, so where do they fit into this whole sort of picture in terms of the personality of Shiva? First thing is, Lord Shiva is a very big and very complex person. He's not at all a simple person. He's far more complex than Lord Brahma, and he's far greater than Lord Brahma. So the 11 Rudras, generally those Rudras are described as being the particular forms of Lord Shiva who help with the destruction of the universe. In fact, when Lord Brahma became angry with the four Kamas in the Bhagavatam, then the 11 Rudras came out at that time, and they started to destroy the universe, but Lord Brahma told them, stop. It is not the right time yet. So he sent them, and they are now waiting. Yeah, but when the time comes, they will come out and take part in the destruction of the universe. I think it's there. I think you'll see, you'll find it there. Yeah. Yes, Dadu has made an interesting point that Lord Brahma, we don't have records of him giving bad benedictions since the time of Ravana. He didn't, when Ravana came again as Shishupali, didn't give, Lord Brahma didn't give any benedictions. But then he asks that if Goloka Vrindavan can be part of this universe in a certain sense, then what is wrong with considering the Kailash of Lord Shiva within the universe as being on the same level as the Shivaloka outside? Well, there's a greater sense of difference. Yeah. You know, Goloka is all-pervading and just, you know, completely beyond everything and totally supreme. And so is Krishna, the Lord of Goloka. Lord Shiva is not on that level, although he is on a high level. So, you know, he has that capacity to exist on different levels, in different spheres, and function in different ways to some degree. But, you know, it's not that sort of universal freedom that here, like for example, here we're in Gokula. So it's not different from Goloka. It's not different. So, but the Kailash of Shiva within the universe and the original Shiva Loka beyond the coverings, there is a difference. Yeah. Kuvera, in fact, donated that abode, Kailash, to Lord Shiva within this universe. It is part of his, sort of on the edge of his kingdom. Sanatan Goswami makes that point in one of his purports there. And it is like a limited form of Lord Shiva who is present there. In fact, sometimes it is a Shaktyavesh form. It's a Jiva soul who's empowered to function as Lord Shiva, who's living on Kailash. And the associates he is with, they're not all the great liberated personalities. There's all sorts of, you know, these strange people, ghosts and Buddhas and so on, yeah. But in Shivaloka, the original Shivaloka, you don't find those people at all, no. So there is a difference like that. But, you know, still it is his abode and it is Lord Shiva. So there's a sense of similarity of, you know, like spanning across. His abode is kind of subdivided into different sections. Yeah. And he is present in those different sections in appropriate forms. And, you know, we've just made a distinction that the original Lord Shiva is something very special. The Lord Shiva in Kailash is not on the same level. But we can't forget that it is Lord Shiva. Yeah. We can't say that, you know, they're like two independent personalities, but still there's a degree of difference which exists and is real. And Shiva within this universe, he cannot just, you know, his situation is not just the same. Not totally. But there's a degree, otherwise they wouldn't be called Lord Shiva. Yes, that's true. Yes. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're going on to chapter 3 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Today the discussion focuses primarily on Lord Shiva. We were hearing yesterday about the glories of Lord Indra and of Lord Brahma. They're very special persons, and in their own ways they have some mercy from the Lord, but at the end, Lord Brahma was saying that if you really want to see someone who has some mercy, or who really has the greatest mercy, it's Lord Shiva. So Narada Muni, he went to the Shiva Loka beyond the universe, outside the universe. It is there basically just by the Brahma Jyoti, and very special place. So Narada Muni arrived there and saw Lord Shiva. He was meditating. Well, he was in a trance, at least. He wasn't really meditating. He was in an ecstatic trance, having just finished his meditating on and worshipping Lord Sankarshan. So I guess he wasn't meditating because he was dancing and shouting, Jai, Jai. Of course, we also dance and chant, and that's a type of meditation. But he was very ecstatic, just completely locked into his transcendental world of Krishna consciousness. And he was glorifying his assistants who were accompanying him with music and clapping their hands and so on. And Narada Muni arrived there. Of course, if you remember last night, when Narada Muni left Brahma Loka, he was so much into this idea of there being a oneness between Lord Shiva and Krishna. He was just so much into this idea that he was calling out, shouting out, with great fervor, Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna. So he arrived to see this very ecstatic scene. He became even more ecstatic, to the point that he tried to bow down, but he couldn't, because he was just dancing too much. So somehow he was not able to bow down. And I'm sure you know what he did. What he did, he saw Lord Shiva and he said, you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, and began to glorify him as Lord Brahma had told him, basically, giving the different examples and arguments which Lord Brahma had presented. So, Narada Muni approached Lord Shiva, wanting to take some dust from his lotus feet. But as he approached Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva became overwhelmed with a great inundation of ecstasy. He just grabbed Narada Muni and embraced him and asked him, "What are you talking about by glorifying him?" So he hadn't really digested the fact that Narada Muni was specifically focusing on him. Maybe he thought he was just feeling, you know, very happy to see him or something. But he hadn't really realized that Narada Muni was just into this thing about him. So they sat down together. But Lord Shiva noticed that Narada Muni was not now saying that Lord Shiva was the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. Now he had started chanting the six-syllable Rudra mantra, some special mantra glorifying Lord Shiva. And Narada Muni, after he recited that prayer for a while, started glorifying Lord Shiva as the supreme controller of the universe, and how Lord Krishna was so merciful to him. But Lord Shiva covered his ears and angrily spoke to Narada Muni. So he told Narada Muni, "I'm not the Lord of the universe, nor am I a recipient of any of the Lord's mercy. I'm just a poor soul hankering for the mercy of the servants of his servants." In other words, he feels he's not fortunate enough to get some of Krishna's mercy. He'll just try for some of the mercy of the servants of Krishna. So, interesting thing happened. Narada Muni became bewildered, thinking, maybe I have committed an aparad by describing him as being non-different from Krishna. So he stopped glorifying Lord Shiva. And then, in a very soft voice, he spoke to Lord Shiva. First thing he said was, it's there, I mean it's basically there on page 6 of your study guides, but it is a bit brief, a little brief really. So, Narada Muni thought very quickly. He thought, let me say something which is a glorification, but which Lord Shiva is not really going to be able to deny too easily. So he glorified him as the head of a sampradaya. And of course Lord Shiva could not say that I'm not the head of a sampradaya, because he was already the head. He said, you understand, you're the head of the sampradaya. You understand the confidential, mysterious glories of Lord Vishnu and the devotees. And you explain those glories very nicely as the head of the sampradaya. So Lord Shiva couldn't really say anything to that. And Narada then got a little bit more into glorifying that as a result of this, your mercy is aspired for by the best Vaishnavas. Then he started gradually getting into more sensitive areas. He said, actually, I know that Krishna respects you. And he even sometimes, he glorifies you. Now Lord Shiva is getting disturbed again. Then Narada Muni went too far, at least for Lord Shiva. He said, I know that Krishna has worshipped you and has even begged you for benedictions before. Which is true. In different incarnations, in one of the Puranas, the Vamana Purana, there's a story of how Krishna prayed to Lord Shiva to get the Sudarshan Chakra, and Lord Shiva gave him the Sudarshan Chakra. It's a particular pastime. Then, one time, it's also in the Vamana Purana, there's a story of how Krishna wanted a good son. So Lord Shiva gave him a blessing, and as a result, he got Samba as a son. So when Narada Muni said this, Lord Shiva suddenly sprung up from his seat, and with both hands, he put both hands over Narada Muni's mouth. And actually he was very upset. He said, stop speaking about my arrogant behavior. These things actually had happened, and he knew that they had happened. And he really regretted those things. He felt so embarrassed to be reminded that he had thought he could offer benedictions to his Lord. So Lord Shiva, again in an angry mood, and just like a distressed mood, he told Narada Muni that, don't you understand that these pastimes are just there just so everyone can see that the Lord's pastimes are incomprehensible. You can't understand the Lord's pastimes. In other words, don't take it seriously. But then he said, you know, it's a fact. You've reminded me. I'm a big offender. And what to speak of not having received the greatest mercy from the Lord? I am surprised. I cannot understand how he has not rejected me. Somehow he allows me to continue doing something, but I just can't understand it. So Narada Muni grabbed Lord Shiva's feet, made him sit down, and told him that even though people may sometimes think that you're offensive when you do certain things, but Krishna doesn't see you like that. Because Krishna, the way Krishna sees you is that you're fully dedicated to spreading his glories and spreading devotional service, either directly or indirectly, one way or another. This is how Krishna sees you. So then Narada, because Lord Shiva, he was in this very disappointed state of mind, regretting what he felt were his offenses. Narada Muni tried to explain to Lord Shiva how he was really very dear to Krishna, and how there was evidence to support that. And not only that, to show that he got special mercy, and that he's definitely not an offender. So Narada Muni, he first of all mentioned Banasura. Banasura was a great demon. He had many arms. He wanted to fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he had become very powerful by worshipping Lord Shiva. So, the story is there how when Banasura was fighting Lord Krishna, Krishna defeated him and was just about to kill him with the Sudarshan Chakra. But then Banasura prayed to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva quickly appeared and appealed to Krishna, "Please be merciful, please don't kill this Banasura." So when Lord Krishna realized that Banasura was very dear to Lord Shiva, he completely changed his mind. And he told Banasura on the spot, he gave him a four-armed force.